We're turning this morning not to Romans, to Proverbs, first chapter. And I remind you that what you're about to hear is the eternally true, trustworthy, inerrant word of the living God. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and all our response be for your glory and guided by your Spirit. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I am embarking, Lord willing, on a new sermon series, something different from what we have had in the past few years. We're going to open the book of Proverbs and search out how to live wisely in a foolish world. Now, we're not going to be working through it verse by verse and chapter by chapter, but rather topic by topic. But I covet your prayers for this. It is, yet again, I don't know why I keep doing this to myself, but another daunting challenge. Now, Proverbs, well, it needs a bit of an introduction. Let's face it, Proverbs is a weird book. There's no other book in the Bible like it, except maybe you could say James. James is sometimes called the Proverbs of the New Testament, but James is really obviously very far different from what we have here. When you read Proverbs, you feel like you're a BB in a tin can. The verses just ricochet all over the place. Almost no two verses seem to be on the same topic. And Proverbs is unique also in that it is outside of the chronological narrative history of Israel that you have as you read the law and the histories and the prophets. It's timeless. It applies to all humanity at all times and addresses what it means to live wisely and well. The rest of the Old Testament is historical. Proverbs is experiential. The other books have to do with the nation of Israel. Proverbs is concerned with the individual and his spiritual life. The other books are about the human race. Proverbs is about the human heart. Now, most of Proverbs were written by King Solomon, and you might remember Scripture says that he was the wisest man who ever lived. Now, he wasn't born that way. In 1 Kings 4, we read when Solomon was starting out as king, God asked Solomon in a dream what he would like God to give him. It was a blank check. And remarkably, of all the things that he could have asked for, he asked for wisdom. And this pleased God. I'll pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. So when he asked for that, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure. A breadth of mind like the sand of the seashore. So that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and the people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Understand, this is not Solomon's wisdom, it is God's wisdom, and when Solomon asked for it, God poured it out on him in a massive display of incredible wisdom. So much so that it was known all over the earth and people came in search of it. Now, of his 3,000 proverbs, the Holy Spirit directed about 800 of them to be written down for us, to be collected into this book of the Bible for the sake of the church, for the sake of God's people. This is God's timeless wisdom for all of us. So Proverbs, in some ways, is the most practical, most down-to-earth book of the Bible. Of all of the how-to books you've read, or all the how-to YouTubes you've watched, this is the best of all. And don't miss the fact, of course, that it is completely God-centered and God-oriented. But Proverbs touches every facet of normal, practical, daily life. It is all here. Everything that you need to know for wisdom for the home and the family and work and finances and friendships and just dealing with the world. Now, Proverbs 1:1 through 9, which we just read, is sort of a table of contents or a preface, an introduction to the whole book. It explains the book's purpose to impart wisdom and knowledge and discernment and understanding and insight for life. Now, if we were to take the book of Proverbs and try to outline it, I think we could keep it simple and just say that the chapters 1 through 9 are more of a teaching nature, as a father to a son. They are speeches, wisdom speeches. And then from 10 to the end is the collection of the wise sayings. Chapter 10 begins with the Proverbs of Solomon. Mostly Solomon's. There are a few other small collections of Proverbs included. And prominent in this great collection are some characters that you will hear over and over and over again. The sluggard, the fool, the wicked, the simple, the wise, the righteous. Now, what is a proverb? A proverb is a short, pithy, popular saying that communicates some truth or some advice or an observation that is put in an easily remembered form. And often figures of speech are used that put in a nutshell much truth and wisdom. All languages, all cultures have collections of proverbs. Every culture, every language. Wise sayings, short, to the point, easy to remember ways of imparting the truth. A stitch in time saves nine, and many cooks spoil the soup, and if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. Is that a proverb? I don't know. That I don't know that that imparts truth. Maybe that's not helpful. If I were to take the time, you all could come up with all kinds of sayings, things that perhaps your parents passed on to you. Proverbs are not necessarily commands, and they're not promises. They're not hard and fast rules. They're not absolute truths, but they are true. They're not like axioms in geometry that are fixed. They're aphorisms that are generally true. They're true, but they're not true in every situation. So the question you need to come to a proverb with when you come to one, you say, not is this true, but how is this true? They give us generalizations about how life works. If you're a betting man, they give you an idea of which way to bet. Just like if you're betting on a horse, you bet on the one with the best odds. But it doesn't always win. So let's take an example. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's generally true. But sometimes you train up a child, and he departs from the right way. And sometimes a child who's not been trained up in the right way somehow manages to figure it out. Or Proverbs 10:4. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Generally true. But there are some people who are born into great wealth, and they can be quite lazy all their life. And there are other people who have worked hard all their life, diligently, and yet circumstances wipe out the wealth. They have little to show for it. What did Benjamin Franklin say? Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Generally true. Maybe if I went to bed earlier, I would be richer. I don't know. I have to ponder that one. So Proverbs are not guarantees. They're guidelines for practical insight into how to live a good life and avoid a bad life. All things being equal, if you follow this advice, it will go well for you. Now, let's ask the question, what is wisdom? Proverbs 1:1-6 here says that wisdom is this combination of observation, experience, understanding, prudent conduct, discretion. It's the ability to discern between what's good and bad or right and wrong. It's not just knowing, but using that knowing wisely and well and skillfully. It's having discernment and practical common sense in an immature, foolish world. Wisdom deals with the way the world works and how to live well within it. So the goal of wisdom is not to show others how clever you are. It is rather to show us what it means to please God. You might not be book smart or highly educated. Wisdom is not the product of good grades. It's from God. And it comes from His Word and His Spirit. Every single person here is able to be wise, to have insight and discernment and understanding in God's ways. Now, how do you get wisdom? Let me work through 5 steps. And we'll want to apply these as we go forward in these next weeks and months. First, desiring wisdom is the first step in getting wisdom. Fools don't seek it. Fools don't desire it. Proverbs 4:7, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Whatever else you get in life, get wisdom. And if you're really wise, you will get wisdom first so that you'll know what to do with whatever else you get in life. Proverbs 19:8 says, he who gets wisdom loves himself. So in other words, do yourself a favor. Get wisdom. If we desire it, then the next step will be to ask for it, like Solomon. Or James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And in Proverbs 2:3-6. If you call out for insight, if you seek it like silver, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge. For the Lord gives wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Ask Him again and again and again. In fact, ask Him in every situation, in every circumstance, in every event that you find yourself in. Ask Him. Never cease pursuing this. desire it, pray for it, fear the Lord. The fear in 1:7 we read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In 9:10 it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, there's that strange word again, to fear the Lord. And we always just kind of trip on that. Why should Christians fear the Lord? Wouldn't love be a better word? And of course, love would be a good word. And of course, you should love God. But love and fear are not antithetical. They go together. The fear of the Lord means a reverence for the Lord, a holy awe of the Lord, a humble honoring of the Lord. To fear the Lord is to love what He loves and hate what He hates. It is not a fear that causes us to distance ourselves from God, to want to hide. It's the kind of fear that actually seeks intimacy with God, to draw near to Him, that desire. Fearing the Lord means fearing actually that we should hope or look for help in something else. Desire, pray, fear, seek God's wisdom in His Word. So begin with prayer, but then as you come to His Word, pray for an open mind, an open heart, that He will speak to you through His Word. Think about it for just a moment. What are the voices that shape and influence your life and your thinking? Well, who are the influencers? What are you looking to on social media or in YouTube or podcasts or TV or popular culture or peer pressure? What are the voices? What are the influences? What are the things that you want to tell other people about? Or show, did you see this? Or did you read this? Or did you hear about that? What do you listen to? Who are you listening to? What do you want to build your life on, your house on, your marriage, your parenting, your future? Well, here is God's gift, this practical wisdom for daily life. Oh, that we would spend as much time here as we do in all those other places. This is the very wisdom of God. But it's like a mine. The riches aren't on the surface. You have to dig. You need God's help. So pray, read, reflect, meditate, ponder, choose, study. Effort will pay off. No pain, no gain. Read Proverbs. There are people, and I encourage you to do the same. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs. That really lines out well with the 31 days in a month. Just on that, what's today? The 19th? Go home today and read chapter 19. As I said, being a tin can, not going to matter if you do it all together. So just read that day's chapter over and over and over. Get wisdom. And the staggering thing about Proverbs is, even though it was written 3,000 years ago, it is still fresh, real, relevant, modern. The human condition hasn't changed. Desire, pray, fear, seek from God's Word, and last and perhaps most important step of gaining wisdom, love Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:22 and following. The Jews demand signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God stronger than men. Christ crucified. Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Jesus perfectly embodies wisdom. According to Isaiah 11:2, the Messiah would be anointed with the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. There it all is in the Messiah, in Christ. And according to the New Testament, Jesus is God's gift of wisdom to sinners. Solomon was a genius, but one greater than Solomon has come. Jesus, the wisdom of God. Wisdom incarnate. If you want wisdom, follow Jesus and take him at his word. If you want things to go well in your life, follow Jesus and what he says. And even if it doesn't make sense at first, or you can't make sense of it in the midst of where you are, follow his way. It will lead you to life. And this wisdom of God, of course, is available to us. Jesus paved the way for it on the cross. The path of wisdom leads through the cross. Let me just put it as bluntly as I can. There is no wisdom apart from Jesus. You cannot know the true meaning of life and of the universe and everything in it. There is no wisdom without humility. The humility that is required to take that step of desiring it and praying for it and seeking it in the Word. If you don't follow the wisdom of Jesus, you're going to end up in chaos and in confusion and misery and depression and doubt and fear and eventually death. If all we do is teach our kids how to tie their shoes and brush their teeth and look both ways and say please and thank you and, you know, how to wash the dishes and how to drive a car, if that's all we have accomplished, we have not gone far enough. The home and the family is where we first learn wisdom. God's wisdom, who he is, what he is like, what he has done, and that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Make sure your kids and your grandkids know this book. It's written for youth. It's written to sons and daughters who are starting out in life. And so you can't start too early, and it's never too late to start reading Proverbs. Read a chapter a day. Read it as part of family devotions. Going back to that Matthew 12:42, Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking to a generation like ours, and he says, the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, will rise up at the judgment of this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She came from a long ways away and sought it out. And Jesus is saying, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. What is up with your not following the wisdom of the Queen of Sheba in seeking out that greater wisdom? In this information age that we live in, you cannot keep up with the ever-expanding vast amounts of information and knowledge. They're just being poured out. You cannot keep up with YouTube and with Facebook and Instagram and all the rest. It's overwhelming. You can't keep up that pace, but you can increase in wisdom. And we all need wisdom to navigate the waters of growing up and of home and school and work and marriage and parenting and trials and troubles and fears and doubts. And Proverbs reminds us that what matters more than anything else, what gets to the root, to the core, this is it. From getting out of bed in the morning to building the foundations of life to dealing with life and death, this is our wisdom. And Proverbs reminds us that God's wisdom is not just for the big stuff, but for even the mundane small things of life. Brothers and sisters, pray for me, pray for us as we embark on this journey. And now I say to you, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit through your word to nurture in us the seeds of faith and repentance, and to give us a hunger and a thirst for godly wisdom, that we will be able to discern what is good and best and right and pleasing to you. Fill us with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.